Welcome to Maktaba Sound Studio, specialists in high-quality Islamic media. For the best in Islamic literature, nasheeds and audio lectures, log on to www.maktaba.net. Maktaba, your online Islamic bookstore.
Did they really kill Isa? Did they really crucify Isa? What really happened to him? Can you tell us the whole story on Isa?
إِنَّ الْحَمْدَ لِلَّهِ نَحْمَدُهُ وَنَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَهْدِيهِ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُهُ ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا أما بعد. Our topic today is of no secret. It's regarding the life of the Prophet of Allah, Isa عليه السلام. The timing of this talk coincides with the released movie, the popular movie, The Passion of Isa alayhi salam. And the reason that is because of many of the Muslims who have watched it and seen it were affected by it. I wouldn't be exaggerating if I said I received tens of calls regarding that movie. People who seen it or were about to see it and wanted clarification on points in it. And really not details, but rather they began to have misconceptions on principles of Islam that regard Isa that were in that movie. And hundreds of emails that I got asking similar questions. Therefore, it was needed that these matters be cleared up because one's faith is very important in regards to Isa alayhi salam. In one of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ says, whomever bear witness that there is only one God and Muhammad ﷺ is his messenger and Isa is his messenger will enter his level in heaven dependent on his level of deeds. So belief in Isa is belief in Islam. One who doesn't believe in Isa as a messenger of Allah is not a Muslim. And there's matters within Isa's life that if you don't believe them and have the straight belief about them, then one is not a Muslim. Isa alayhi salam is the last messenger of Bani Israel. Allah used to send messengers to tribes and nations in particular. For example, Bani Israel had their own messengers. Whereas if someone came from out of Bani Israel, Isa alayhi salam or Musa alayhi salam would refer to another messenger and tell him, I wasn't sent for you. That's how a lot of the messengers were sent. He is a man honored in the Quran in 10 different situations, settings. In 10 different settings in the Quran, Allah talks about important parts of his life or his escalation or matters that happened within him conveying the message. Yet his name itself was mentioned in the Quran 25 times. And that's an honor to Isa alayhi salam. His mother's name, Maryam alayhi salam, was mentioned in the Quran 31 times. He has a chapter in the Quran named after his grandfather. Grandfather is Imran. Al-Imran is the family of Imran. We have a chapter in the Quran which is Surah number 3 named after him. We have a chapter in the Quran named after Maryam alayhi salam. The names of the surahs in the Quran are a revelation from Allah. They are a revelation from Allah. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tell the Sahaba, put this verse between this verse and that verse in surah so-and-so. Meaning, the surah name came from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which in turn came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why it's repeated so much is obvious, because number one, it's important. The life of Isa alayhi salam is very important because it led many, many people astray. In addition to that, some of the stories were repeated because there's different lessons in them. So you repeat it in one area to draw a lesson from it. You repeat it in another area to draw a different lesson from it. You know, in our classes that we had, I used to mention a hadith, I recall 7 or 8 times. One of the hadith that I mentioned 7 or 8 times. And that 7 or 8 times, every time I mentioned it, we took a lesson from that, different from the one before. We're not repeating to bore people, but rather every time it was mentioned, there was a different lesson than the time before. And that's actually like the repeated stories or verses in the Quran. Another reason, and the third reason, is because Allah mentions a portion of the story of Isa alayhi salam in one part of the Quran, and then finishes it in another part. And that's to draw interest in the Quran. Because, you know, if you're really into a story, or you want to know about something, and all of a sudden the story stops. Talk about Maryam, her father, how she was given birth, and how she was in the mosque. You stop there. And then you want to know how she gave birth to Isa. That's in another chapter. To get people to read the Quran, to have interest in the Quran, so you won't have one story all the way from beginning to end, and then another story all the way from beginning to the end. That draws less interest than if you were to break the story down into several parts as the Quran does. Isa alayhi salam is a man and a human being who was in the middle of two radical groups. The two radical groups, one went to an extreme in his hatred, and one went to an extreme in his love. And the Ummah, Islamic Ummah, went in the middle. Those who went into an extreme in his hatred were the Jews. They said that Isa is a man who's a bastard. Astaghfirullah. They said his mother was a fornicator. They thought, or they wanted, or they think that they had killed him. They hated him, as they did with all the messengers prior to him. They either kill him or disbelieve in him. أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ بِمَا لَا تَهْوَى أَنفُسُكُمْ اسْتَكْبَرْتُمْ فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ. Every time we send you a messenger you don't like, you either disbelieve in him, or you try to kill him, or you kill him. The second radical group in Isa was a group who went into an extreme in his love. And those, of course, are the Christians. The ones who said he's either Allah or the Son of Allah or a portion of Allah, they went to an extreme in their love of Isa. Allah describes the first one, the Jews, as al-maghdub alayhim, the cursed people, because they know the truth and they refuse to follow it. The Christians are called in the Quran al-dallin, the ones who are astray, because a lot of the Christians are just followers of their leaders. And there's a difference between knowing the truth and not following it, and just being a blind follower of your leader. Both are wrong, and both are not justified. However, one is cursed, and one is just mentioned in the Quran as astray, and that's what you have in Surah Al-Fatiha. Wal-dallin, the Christians, al-maghdubi alayhim, are the Jews. The Muslims came in the middle, and they gave Isa alayhi salam the appropriate right that Allah gave him, put him in a position that Allah put him in, and that is that he is a messenger of Allah, sent by Allah with the Torah, and not believing in him in such a manner is not being a Muslim. We start off with the talk on Isa alayhi salam, not by his life, nor is it by his mother's life, but rather by his grandparents' life. Allah in the Quran honored them by the surah that's mentioned after them, Surah Ali Imran, where Allah mentions,
إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ ذُرِّيَّةً بَعْضُهَا مِنْ بَعْضٍ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ
Allah chose Adam. Allah chose Nuh. Allah chose the family of Ibrahim. And Allah chose the family of Imran amongst all nations. Allah chose them over all the nations. Look at that. Adam, Nuh, Ibrahim and his family, all messengers and prophets of Allah. And he attributes to them the family of Al-Imran to honor them by attributing them in the same verse, in the same sentence, with messengers of Allah. These are chosen people. The family of Imran, their family tree runs all the way up to Dawood alayhi salam. His name, the grandfather of Isa, of course the grandfather from his mother's side, because he had no grandfather from his father's side, because he was born without a father. His grandfather from his mother's side, his name is Imran. His wife is Hanna bint Faqud. This woman was unable to conceive or bear kids. At one time in her life, she seen a bird feeding his baby birds in a nest. You know how they go and eat and then it's vomited into the baby bird's mouth? She seen the mother vomiting into her young baby's food, into his mouth. She sympathized and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give her a baby. And the one who can give something by the word kun fayakun, be and it happens and it's done, on the spot allows her to become pregnant, even though she was at an older age than being able to bear and conceive kids. Usually, when one asks Allah for something, they tend to forget to thank Allah. It's either one of two things, most of the time. And there's exceptions. Either people forget to thank Allah, you ask Allah, oh Allah, I want to graduate, oh Allah, I want this, oh Allah, I want to get married, oh Allah, I want kids. And then when Allah gives you that, you forget to thank Allah. That's a better category than the second one. Another one, they attribute it to other than Allah. They graduated, they say, oh, you know, it was time that allowed me to graduate. They conceive kids, oh, I got married and it's natural to have the kids. That's the usual way of how human beings think. And it's rare for someone to say, Alhamdulillah, I graduated after 4 years. Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. That's actually a lesson from Allah. That's why one of the reasons and wisdoms in Allah delaying a dua. Because then a lot of the people are tested and seeing who's going to thank Allah and who's going to deny that Allah has something to do with it and who's going to truly thank Allah for that which Allah gave him. The mother of Maryam, Hanna, gets pregnant. And she's not either of those two categories. One who forgets to thank Allah, nor is she the kind that attributes it to other than Allah. Actually, soon as she got pregnant, her first reaction was,
إِذْ قَالَتِ امْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ رَبِّ إِنِّي نَذَرْتُ لَكَ مَا فِي بَطْنِي مُحَرَّرًا فَتَقَبَّلْ مِنِّي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ
The wife of Imran said, Oh Allah, Oh Allah, I commit and devote my infant solely for your sake and for your service. So accept, Oh Allah, from me. This baby that's in my stomach is devoted all for your sake and only for your sake, so accept from me, O Allah. She wanted to commit him to the service of Allah. And back then, they used to commit him to the service of Allah in Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, the holy area of Bayt al-Maqdis. And what they did back then when they served, they would worship all day long, eat, drink, worship all day long, and serve the people who come to visit and clean the sacred area of Jerusalem, Bayt al-Maqdis. And that actually happened in our time as well, in old times. If you go to Medina or Mecca, you're going to find some people who are called the Aghat. The Aghat are the people who you will see in Medina and Mecca, and there's rarely any of them left. They're very tall black men with no facial hair, and they have a thawb dress, the white dress, and a robe over them, and a very, very neat turban. These people, they stand out. You see them, you would know them. These people, their mothers, when they were young kids, devoted them for Mecca and Medina, the two houses of Allah in Mecca and Medina, to serve and clean and worship in them. And what they did, and of course this is haram, but they thought they were doing something good, is they castrated them. Reason being, so they will not have no desires, and they will stay in Mecca and Medina, serving and worshiping Allah the rest of their life. And that's the reason they don't have no facial hair. The point being is their mothers, when they were young, did that and brought them to Medina from Africa or Ethiopia, and brought them to Mecca and left them in Mecca, so in Medina, so they can clean the houses of Allah and take care of people as needed over there. And that's what they used to do. When I remember when I was a little kid, when we went there, when I was there from 7 years old to about, I was about 13 years old, there was plenty of them. And they were the only people who cleaned the masjid, the entire masjid. They swept, they took the carpet, they closed the doors of the masjid, and there was many of them, but they were at a very old age, I recall. When I went after finishing high school, there was rarely any of them left. There were few of them, and they were still in charge, yet at that time, the government had brought companies to clean the masjid because it got too much upon them, and they weren't able to handle it. The same way these people were devoted, which are called the Aghat, is exactly what Hannah wanted to do with her infant. The problem came about when she gave birth. She gives birth, and it turns out her infant is not a boy as she had assumed. She had assumed and thought so much about devoting him to the masjid, to Jerusalem, that she thought it was going to be a boy, for sure. It never hit her that it might be an infant female. And that's why she was at a shock when she gave birth to her baby. Listen to Allah's verses, and these are chain of verses that I'm reading from Surah Ali Imran.
فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنثَى والله أعلم بما وضعت وليس الذكر كالأنثى وإني سميتها مريم وإني أعيذها بك وذريتها من الشيطان الرجيم.
She gives birth to this beautiful, innocent, young girl. And she says, as the verse says, when she was delivered, "Oh Lord, oh Allah, I delivered a female child." And Allah knows best what she delivered. And a female is not like a male. A male is not like a female. "I named her Maryam, and I command her and her offspring from your with your protection from the evil one." So she gives birth. She says, "Oh Allah, it's a girl. Thought it was going to be a male. But it's a girl. And a girl is not like a guy." Why? Because there's many things that occur. When she's in charge of Bayt al-Maqdis, or she's going to be cleaning and living there, there's going to be mingling. And usually, in pious people, they'll mingle with the opposite sexes. So how's that going to happen? Also, woman gets her period. In that time, she has to get away from Bayt al-Maqdis. Also, security reasons. She's a female alone. A female alone needs the help of a male. He needs to buy her, stuff, help her, make sure no one tries to harm her or take advantage of her. That's why in Islam, every woman has to have a wakil. She has to have a wakil. Some guardian. Every woman. If she's young in her father's house, her father's wakil. If her father's dead, her uncle is the wakil. If her uncle's not around, then the khalifa or the leader of the Muslims is the wakil. If he's not around, then the khalifa will appoint someone. Or in our time and age where we don't have a khalifa and we're living, you know, in the West, then maybe the masjid, the local imam, an older figure with wisdom, will be in charge. She gives birth to the female. And that's Maryam. She says, وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ. And she names her Maryam. And she says, I seek refuge in you, Ya Allah, that the devil not harm her or her offspring. She wanted it to be a male. She thought it was a male. It turned out to be a female. And this is a lesson to us, to teach us, when you ask Allah for something, or you desperately want something, and it turns out to be something else, know that always Allah chooses, if you're a believer, what is best for you. Look at that. She thought it was a dead end when she gave birth to a female. But what happened? It turns out that Maryam, alayhi salam, her daughter, that she thought she couldn't devote to the masjid, to Jerusalem, to the caretaking of the house of Allah, she thought that it wouldn't happen. It turns out Maryam would be the first one to be in charge of Jerusalem. It was Maryam's name, the only female name that's mentioned in the Quran, not once or twice, but rather 31 times, to honor her. After the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's the woman who came to tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a story about her husband, or complained to her about her husband, who told her, you're like my husband. He told her, you're like my mother to me. My relationship to you is like my relationship to my mother. This was a form similar to divorce before the Prophet ﷺ. So back then when they said that, that's it. The relationship between a husband and wife would be like a man and his mother. It's called back then zihar. The story is in the Quran in Surah Al-Mujadalah, قَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّتِي تُجَادِلُكَ فِي زَوْجِهَا وَتَشْتَكِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. She complains to the Prophet ﷺ, and it's a story where Aisha was sitting right next to him and they didn't hear him. However, the whole story is there. The woman's name is not mentioned. Zainab, the Prophet's wife, the one who used to brag to other women that Allah married her off to the Prophet from on top of seven skies. You know, when a woman is going to get married, it's her father who's going to give her away, her guardian, her brother, her son maybe, the Khalifa, the leader, local imam, is the one who's going to give her away. However, Zainab used to brag because she did not have a human guardian to give her away, but rather it was Allah who did the entire marriage for her. فَلَمَّا قَضَى زَيْدٌ When she was divorced from Zayd, فَلَمَّا قَضَى مِنْهَا زَيْدٌ وَطَرًا زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. In Surah Al-Ahzab, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا, we married her off to you. When Allah did the marriage, that was it. There was no two witnesses. And this is a special thing of the Prophet ﷺ, because Allah said, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. You can't go around and tell a female, you know what, Allah married me off to you, and that's it, I don't need no witnesses or anything. No, this was a specialty because Allah directly told the Prophet ﷺ, زَوَّجْنَاكَهَا. The point of it, Zainab's name is not mentioned in the Quran. Another example, Aisha. You know that she was accused in her honor. And Aisha radiallahu anha's story is mentioned in Surah Al-Ikh. In Surah An-Nur, the story of Al-Ikh, she was accused in her honor for 30 days. People thought that she had committed a sin with another man. Yet Allah declares her innocence in the Quran. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ. Those who came with the evil lie, regarding who? Regarding Aisha. Don't think it's bad for you. It was good to see who the believers are and who the non-believers are, the hypocrites are, and who the ones who were steadfast with the Prophet ﷺ are. So where's Aisha's name? Who's we talking about? We're talking about Aisha. Where's her name? It's not in the Quran. The only one mentioned in the Quran is Maryam alayhi salam. The Prophet ﷺ said, the best of all women is Maryam. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of women in heaven are Maryam, Khadija, Asiya, Fatima. Maryam is the one we're talking about. Khadija is the wife of the Prophet ﷺ. Asiya is the wife of Fir'aun. And Fatima is the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Add to that, Maryam is the only woman ever in the history of the universe who appropriately and legitimately is allowed her offspring be attributed to her. Her son is attributed to her. You can't name me Ahmed, the son of my mother's name. You can't name me that. I can't name you Abdullah, the son of your mother's name. You can't do that. You gotta attribute yourself to your father. Allah said in the Quran, ادعوهم لآبائهم. And the side issue on this is those who attribute themselves to their husband's name after they get married are committing a sin. That's haram. In Islam, you can't do that. If you're forced to do that for legal work or, you know, immigration work, that's a different story, and it must be changed later on. However, if you do it because you're in love or following the tradition of the kuffar, it's haram. You cannot change your name to your husband's family name. Allah said in Surah Al-Ahzab, ادعوهم لآبائهم. So the only person you can name yourself to is your father, female or male. However, the only person ever whose offspring is attributed to her is Maryam. What do we call Maryam? He's in the Quran named Isa ibn Maryam. Isa, the son of Maryam. She's the only woman in the universe chosen to be told the secret of bearing Isa, the messenger of Allah, later on. So all these specialties, look how much Allah honors her, and there's much more that Allah honored her with. But look at these specialties that came about when Hannah, her mother, thought it was a dead end and that she wanted a boy, and that having a girl was going to kill her hopes in devoting this baby to the house of Allah. The next portion of the ayah.
وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ.
I seek refuge, O God, O Allah, in you from the devil to have, for any effect of the devil to happen on Maryam or on her offspring. And what she means by this dua, and the translation of this dua, or the meaning of it, is when anyone, the Prophet ﷺ said in Sahih al-Bukhari, when any newborn is born, the shaytan comes to him and pokes him in his side, and that's why he comes out of his mother's womb crying. Except Isa and his mother. Why? Because his grandmother made dua that I seek refuge, O Allah, that the shaytan not have any effect upon him. So that effect was not to occur to Isa or his mother, the only two people. It said that when they were born, the shaytan came to try to poke them, and the angels blocked them off from being able to do that. That's basically, you know, that shaytan showing his face and saying, hey, I'm here for you. I'm here to lead you astray, and I'm here to lead you to the wrong path. So Allah accepted her dua, and of course, accepted her dua in accepting it not only to Maryam, but to her offspring, because her offspring ended with Isa. Isa had no more children. Had he had any children, the dua would have continued on, that after Isa alayhi salam, where his children would not be affected by the devil. Now Maryam is born. And Allah says in the Quran,
فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ.
Allah accepted her in a good acceptance. What do we mean by good acceptance, or that Allah accepted her? Allah accepted the mother's commitment, allowing Maryam to go and be a servant of Bayt al-Maqdis. Allah accepted that commitment, and accepted also that she be grown up in a pious and special upbringing. The next part of the verse.
وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا.
What happens now, she's a young girl, as soon as she's independent to be on her own, her mother takes her by her hand. She could have forgot about it. She said, oh, I got my daughter, I got my wish, and that's it, you know. No need to take her and devote her. Because it's hard on a woman to be separate and away from your kids and children. However, this was a woman full of faith. And this is an example of a household full of faith and iman from the children of Bani Israel. She takes her daughter and walks towards Bayt al-Maqdis. And she isn't able at that time or those days to enter Bayt al-Maqdis. As soon as she brings them, the pious people and the worshippers of Bayt al-Maqdis know what she's coming for. They meet her at the outskirts of Bayt al-Maqdis, at the outside gate, and they begin to argue as to who's going to be taking care of Maryam. Everyone sort of knew she was special, and everyone wanted to take care of her. Zakaria, the messenger of Allah, lived during her time and lived in the same area. They were neighbors. So as soon as Zakaria seen her coming by, he starts off saying, I'm going to be the caretaker of Maryam. The other worshippers say, that's not fair. Why do you have more right than us to take care of her? Zakaria says, because there's two narrations, that Maryam is his sister-in-law. Meaning Zakaria's wife is Maryam's sister. That's one narration that we have. Another narration is that Zakaria's wife is Maryam's aunt, Khala, her aunt from her mother's side. The stronger of the two narrations is that Zakaria's wife was Maryam's sister. And this shows you that when her mom took her to commit her, she was at an older age. At an age where she was independent and possibly old enough to get married. Because her sister, who was born and must have been born and had to have been born after her, was already a wife to Zakaria. So Zakaria says, this is my sister-in-law. I have more right to take care of her than anyone. They say, no. What's the solution? They say, we're going to do a Qur'ah. A Qur'ah is a draw, to draw. What happens in the draw is that you put the names of 10 people or 3 people, however how many there is, and you pull out a name, and that name is the lucky person or the fortunate person. And this happened with the messengers of Allah 3 different times. Yunus, alayhi salam, when he got mad at his people and he left on the ship, and the ship was about to sink in, they said, we have someone here who is astray or ran away from his master, we have to throw him out, that's why our ship is sinking. And they did a jar. They put all the names of the people on the ship in a jar, and they pulled out the name, and it was Yunus alayhi salam's name, and that's when they threw him in the ocean, and Allah saved him by putting him in the stomach of the whale for a very long time. That's the first time. The second time is in the situation Zakaria, when they did a draw who's going to take care of Maryam. And the third time is when the Prophet ﷺ in Sahih al-Bukhari and other Sunan, where when he used to go out on a travel and he had his wife, which one would go with him? He would do the same thing. Put her names in a draw and pull out one of them, and whoever name it is, he would take her on that trip or journey along with him. What they did is they agreed, again, this has another two narrations to it. They agreed to put their pens in the Jordan River. It's still, today we still know it as the Jordan River. In the Jordan River, as you know, all rivers have a current that takes them one way. They said the pen that goes the opposite way than the current is the owner of that pen, is the one who's going to take care of Maryam. They used to take their pens that they wrote Torah with, meaning pens that they did a lot of good deeds with. So everyone takes out his pen and puts it in the Jordan River, and the current takes it all one way except one pen. It goes the opposite, and that's the pen of Zakaria. They say, okay, now that's enough. Let's do it a second time. Same thing. The one that goes the opposite than the current is Zakaria's pen. The third time, the same thing. There's another narration that says it wasn't done that way, but rather what they did was they said, put your pen in the river, and we call a young boy, innocent young boy who hasn't reached puberty, who's walking by, we tell him, come over and pick one of these pens. Whichever pen he picks is the pen. The owner of that pen is the one who's going to take care of Maryam. And it turns out the boy that they chose 3 times chooses Zakaria alayhi salam's pen. And then they all agree that Zakaria should be the caretaker of Maryam. And there's reasons behind that. The reason is because Allah wanted the best of the best for Maryam. Zakaria is the messenger of Allah. So Allah wanted Zakaria to be the caretaker of this woman. So she can learn from Zakaria. She can learn the wisdom, the revelation from Allah from Zakaria. She can get the right path from Zakaria. And he's the best of that time, the best person of that time. Just like the Prophet ﷺ of our times and after him. The best person of that time was Zakaria, and he got the honor of taking care of Maryam alayhi salam.
وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا.
A lesson in Zakaria being chosen is that there was something Zakaria needed to learn from Maryam. That is, Zakaria and his wife were not able to conceive kids. And this is later on, this happens later on. But now is appropriate setting to mention it. Zakaria walks in and sees she has food. He brings the food, stocks up the food, and takes it to Maryam. And every time he walks in on Maryam, he finds food there. And that's not the miracle itself. That's a miracle in how she got the food, when the only male who enters upon her and brings her food is Zakaria. That's a miracle. But that's not the big portion of the miracle. What's bigger than that is that Maryam used to have the food that only grows in winter. She used to have it in summer. And the food that grows and that they have in summer, she used to have it in winter. This is a miracle from Allah. They didn't have back then refrigerators and freezers to store up food. No. What happened? What you grow in summer, you had it in summer. What you have grew in winter, you had it in winter only. She used to have it the opposite. And Allah says in the Quran,
كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّا الْمِحْرَابَ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ.
Zakaria had built her and established for her a mihrab. A mihrab, the definition of a mihrab, is a place where someone lives and worships in the masjid or in the holy place. For example, it's a room built in the mosque or in a portion of the mosque or on top of it. And if you look at the old churches that are built overseas, you find there's rooms in them. And these were the rooms that we call al-mihrab. The mihrab today given to where the imam prays, you know that circular, half-circular area where the imam goes and prays, they call that mihrab. That's really a false term used for that. And people think that's a mihrab, and actually they put this verse, you see it on top of the mihrab in a lot of masjids. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّا الْمِحْرَابِ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. To seem to show that that's the mihrab. No, that's not the mihrab. A mihrab is a room built in a masjid or on top of a masjid for someone who lives in that place of worship and stays and remains there. That's why a lot of the churches, if you go and you pay attention to them, you're going to find they have room, and it was this purpose. So every time Zakaria walks in on her in that mihrab, the room she worships in, and she resides and lives in, he asks her, Maryam, where'd you get this food?
قَالَ يَا مَرْيَمُ أَنَّا لَكِ هَذَا.
He said, Zakaria, it's from Allah.
قَالَتْ هُوَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ.
What Allah is trying to tell Zakaria, the lesson to him, the same one who provided her the food of the summer and winter, and the food of winter and summer, and Allah provided her and brought it down to her, He's the same one who can provide you with a child if you want one. On the spot, Zakaria said,
هُنَالِكَ دَعَا زَكَرِيَّا رَبَّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِن لَّدُنكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إنك سميع الدعاء.
O Allah, I'm a spouse. He said, Oh Allah, grant me offspring or a son. In other verses it says, he wanted a son to help him continue the message of Allah. يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ عَلِي عَقُوبٍ To inherit from me the message of Allah. On the spot, the angels give him the news that his wife will bear a child. A miracle from Allah.
فَنَادَتْهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ يُصَلِّي فِي الْمِحْرَابِ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكَ بِيَحْيَى.
The same way Allah trying to hint it. The same way Allah provided her with the winter of the food of the winter in summer and the food of the summer in winter, the same way Allah is able to provide you with a child. And his wife became pregnant. A unique side issue about Zakaria is when he was given the news of the son, a similar situation happened to him like Maryam. He fasted from talking. And there's two verses in the Quran where Allah says in the Quran, آياتك ألا تكلم الناس ثلاثة ليال سوية. Your miracle is not to speak to people 3 nights in a row. 3 days in a row, you gotta remain silent. Then in another verse, Allah says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ كَثِيرًا. During these days, praise Allah. And a lot of people use this to be contradictory. How does Allah say not to fast 3 days from talking, and he is then unable to talk in those 3 days? Then Allah says, and praise Allah praise Allah a lot in these days. And it's really not contradictory, it's just the ignorance of people that Zakaria was to fast from any kind of talking. You tell him, Assalamu alaikum, no talk. How are you, Zakaria? No talk. Praise Allah, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah, talk, he can talk. So he was unable to talk about worldly matters, but he was able to talk and praise Allah. Back to Maryam alayhi salam. This is the situation of Maryam and Zakaria and the wife and the mother of Maryam shows us that Allah provides us with means and without means. For example, what I'm trying to say is that the means are there in a situation, and it's by the will of Allah that He gives you what you want or what usually happens. For example, the man is married to the wife. What usually happens by the will of Allah is they conceive and bear kids. That's one of the ways of Allah providing for you. The means are there. The second way, the means are there, the husband and wife are there, but they're not able to conceive. Yet sometimes Allah, with a miracle, provides them with a child. For example, Zakaria, he's married, his wife is married to him, and they're not able to conceive kids, yet Allah provides them with a child. The third way is that the means are not there, and Allah provides. And that's like Adam, alayhi salam. There's no father, there's no mother, but there's Adam, alayhi salam. And also in Maryam, alayhi salam, she had no husband, however, she was able to conceive Isa alayhi salam. This is a lesson to show us that depending on means entirely is shirk, not Islam. Takes you out of Islam. To say, oh, it was just Mary that provided me with this son, no, that's not Islam. It was Allah who provided through the means of your marriage. The provider is Allah. But your marriage was just a means to get that which Allah provided you with. That's why dependent totally on means becomes shirk. Maryam alayhi salam continued in the mihrab to pray and worship and take care of Jerusalem. The angels come down to her one time to inspire her and to give her the good news, telling her, Ya Maryam, Inna Allah astafaki. وطهرك واصطفاك على نساء العالمين يا مريم اقنطي لربك واسجدي واركعي مع الراكعين Let them angels come to boost her faith and tell her, Ya Maryam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ صَفَاكِ Allah chose you. وَطَحَرَكِ Purified you. وَصَفَاكِ Chose you again. عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ I'm the woman of the universe. Ya Maryam, اقْنُطِي لِرَبِّكِ Oh, you, Maryam, pray and worship your Lord. وَسْجُدِي وَارْكَعِي مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ And bow and prostrate for the sake of Allah. Imagine that Allah tells this woman two times in one verse that Allah has chosen you. She's a special woman. Two times to add assurance to the already established fact that she's chosen, that she is a chosen and special woman, Maryam alayhi salam. One day she leaves to an easterly direction of the masjid. East of what? East of Jerusalem. Why she left there is because some scholars say she needed to use the bathroom, or she was on her period and wanted to get away from the holy areas, or she just wanted to worship Allah in seclusion. Either way, it doesn't really matter why she left. She left to the easterly direction. And now we jump to Surah Maryam to get the story of what happened there. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ And remember in the book Maryam.
وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمَ إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيًّا
Easterly direction. Ibn Abbas, when he translates this verse, he said, Wallahi, I know why Christians take the East as their qibla and direction and their holy direction. And his answer was, that's because where Maryam went, talking about the Christians of his time, and I think, from what I know, it's possible that the Christians of this time also take the easterly direction as their holy direction, and it's because of this situation when Maryam, alayhi salam, went to the east alone. فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا She's now in the easterly direction. East meaning what? She's in a outskirts, in an easterly direction, away from everyone and away from Jerusalem.
فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا
What we mean by hijab here is hijab in the Quran comes for two meanings. The first one is the hijab that a woman wears, the headscarf, the jilbab, the khimar that she wears, that's one of the meaning. Another meaning, hijab comes to mean a screen or a barrier. So example, a wall in your house where you separate between, for example, two things, whether it may be males and females, or two families or whatever, that in itself is called hijab. The wall itself is called hijab. So she took a screen or a barrier upon herself, away from everyone. فَأَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْهَا رُوحَنَا We sent to her our ruh. Our ruh. Our ruh means our soul. So Allah is saying we sent to her our soul. What we mean over here is Jibreel alayhi salam. Our soul in this verse is Jibreel alayhi salam. And the reason he's called this, the soul, is because he's the soul for all humanity. The same way you need to live off food and water, your soul needs food also, and that's the belief part of it. And the one who brings the belief part to all humanities was Jibreel. So he's like the food of the soul. He's the one who livens the soul, and that's why he's called that. Other scholars say he's called Ruh because Ruhana because you know in Arabic when someone loves someone they usually say Ya Ruhi, oh my soul. Ya Ruhi. And they say because Jibreel is the most beloved creation to Allah, that's why it's called Ruhana. You know, you tell someone who you love, Ya Ruhi, I love you, you know, my soul. You don't really mean he's your physically your soul, but you mean that you love him so much, he's like your soul. So they say Jibreel was the most beloved creation to Allah, that Allah called him Ruhana. And the third reason that's given is because he is a spiritual being, and all good. He's a spiritual being and all good. There's no evil to him. So that's why he's called Ruhana. Jibreel comes down to her when she's in an easterly direction. How did Allah send Jibreel to Maryam? You know the story of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he first got the revelation from Allah, and he was in the cave, and Jibreel comes to him and grabs him, and he says to him, "Iqra," and he says, "I can't read." He said, "Recite, Iqra," three times. And the point of it, he sees Jibreel in his physical format that Allah created him upon, and he runs back to his wife Khadija, terrified, saying, "Cover me, cover me." And the Prophet is the Prophet, and he's a man. And he's seen him in his physical format, and he was horrified. In fact, in one of the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ described Jibreel, in, he had 600 wings, Jibreel. He raised one wing, he covered the entire sky with that wing. In another hadith that we know of, Jibreel took the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, the homosexuals, and he lifted them on the tip of one of his wings and flipped them over upside down. He lifted them up so high that the angels in the sky could hear their crying, the crying of the children, and flipped it upside down, and that's where you have the Dead Sea today. This is to show you the physical format of Jibreel alayhi salam. In fact, we have a narration in Sirah where the Hamza asked the Prophet ﷺ that he wanted to see Jibreel. And Hamza always got his request by the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet always gave Hamza what he wanted because he loved him so much. So Hamza gets to see Jibreel by the Kaaba, in an area where, you know, they're back in the days when the Hamza and the Prophet ﷺ were in Mecca, there was an area where the people took their clothes off and put them there while they did tawaf around the Kaaba, because they did used to do it nude. So near that area, Hamza and the Prophet ﷺ are sitting, and Hamza gets his wish to see Jibreel. The hadith describes that as soon as Hamza began to lift his eyesight to see Jibreel, he just seen a little portion of the bottom of Jibreel, he passed out. And you know, Hamza is one of the most heroic, strongest of all the companions of his time. When they used to go and wrestle each other in Mecca, Hamza used to go out to the outskirts of Mecca and in the wilderness and wrestle the wild animals. That's how strong he was. So imagine if this happened to the Prophet ﷺ and to Hamza, if Jibreel were to come in his physical shape that Allah created him upon, what would happen to Maryam?
فأرسلنا إليها روحنا.
Allah says,
فتمثل لها بشرا سويا.
He came to her in a human being's form. Is Maryam a messenger of Allah or not? She a prophet of Allah or not? Because some people claim that as soon as Jibreel comes to anyone, that they're messenger or prophet of Allah. And the answer to that is no, she's not. Yes, a few scholars did claim she was, but the truth in the great vast majority is that she's not. Why? Because, number one, she's a woman. And Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا. We only sent prior to you men. Men, رجال, specified men. And Allah doesn't specify it just like that as words in the Quran with no meaning. It's not a put down for a woman, but a woman is created different from a man. Just like the verse we just took earlier. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And a male is not like a female. That's what Hannah said, and Allah proved her by putting it in the Quran. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And a male is not like a female. That's not to put them down. But everyone was created differently. There's things a male couldn't do that a female does. And there's a thing that female doesn't do, that can do, that a male does. Imagine she's a messenger of Allah, or a prophet of Allah. And she's a prophet of Allah, and she needs to meet all these men. And the men think she's beautiful, and they have desire over her. That's going to happen. That's practical. Imagine she's a prophet or a messenger of Allah and she gets pregnant. What is she going to say? Wallah, you guys, excuse me, I need 9 months off in this messengerhood. And even if she bears the problem of pregnancy and stays until the last month, she says, you know what, the last month I can't put up with it. I have to be alone until I give birth. And then after that, you know, I'm going to be unpure for 60 days. I can't sit and meet with you. and sit in the houses of Allah. She gives birth and her husband is there, and he says, you know what, I don't want you to go and teach today because I need you for my desires. It doesn't work. And the same I say, the male cannot play a female role in plenty of things. Allah created them equal in their own ways. And the decisive proof on that is that Allah says in the Quran about Isa, وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةً. He didn't say وَأُمُّهُ نَبِيَّةً. Siddiqa means a pious believer. Siddiqa or Siddiq is the second category of the messengers. That's why in heaven the people are ranked the best one, مَعَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءَ. The highest rank is the messengers. The second one is the Siddiqeen, those who have high ranking in believing, like Maryam, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. And the third one is the martyr, and then after that, the general masses of the believers. فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. And also, if everyone who Allah reveals to is a messenger or prophet, then the bees in their hives are messengers. Because Allah said in the Quran, وَأَوْحَى رَبُّكَ إِلَى النَّحْلِ. And Allah revealed to the bees. And also, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى أُمِّ مُوسَى. We revealed to Umm Musa. And most of the scholars agree that she was a messenger of Allah. So Allah sends Jibreel in a human being format to Maryam, format of a very beautiful looking man. Angels only come down when they change from their original physical format in beautiful looking beings. Not scary looking, and not terrifying, and not one with any deformities. For example, he didn't have an eye popped out, or his nose broken, or he had major scars on his face. No, he came in a beautiful form, and that's exactly what Allah says in the Quran, Basharan Sawiyya. That's the meaning of Sawiyya. What was her reaction? She's now alone. A person comes to her out of the blue, and she's not used to mingling with other men. She's virgin, young, alone, and she wasn't accustomed to seeing any other man other than Zakariya. So her eyes stare in horror, and her voice locks. Someone comes near me. How dare they? Some of the women today, they say, oh, come over, sweetheart, you look so handsome. But this wasn't Maryam. How could she even be near another man? That wasn't something Maryam, alayhi salam, would do. What does Maryam say?
قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا.
I seek refuge in Allah from you if you're a believer. Meaning, if you're Allah, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. She uses a way to get people, other people away, that is very unique. Someone coming to her, thinking she's going to harm him. She tells him, if you fear Allah, in kunta taqiyya, leave me alone. This only affects people who fear Allah. For example, someone coming today to rob your house in this country, you tell him, fear Allah, leave me alone, he's going to put a bullet in your head. They don't fear Allah, so this is not going to affect them. However, she's seen in Jibreel something that showed her this guy is not an evil person. This is a person who fears Allah. The only time this works when is when someone truly fears Allah. You know the story of the three people in the cave, where some people, authentic story that the Prophet ﷺ told us, that happened long time before the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. Three people entered the cave, and the cave had an opening which a huge rock fell upon it, and they weren't able to push it off. So they said, the only thing get you out of here is your deeds. The first one got up and says, oh Allah, I used to come with food every night after working a long day worth of work and feed my parents, and after I was done feeding my parents, I give it to my kids. And one of those nights, he waited until he came home late and his parents were sleeping and his kids were crying. He said, oh Allah, I did not give my kids because I wanted to give priority over to my parents. Oh Allah, if I did that for your sake, then give me an opening to leave from here. The opening cracks a little bit, but not enough for any of them to leave. Then the next one comes and says, oh Allah, I used to be a merchant and a farmer, and some man came work for me, and his due upon him after he worked was one sheep. And after he was done working for me, he forgot his sheep and left. Later on, he came back and he said, do you remember I worked for you long time ago, years and years ago, and I forgot to take my sheep? He said, yes, there, that valley over there is all yours. That one sheep had babies and babies and babies, and he took care of it until it became a whole valley. He said, fear Allah, I just want my one sheep. Quit mocking me. He said, that whole valley is yours. He said, oh Allah, he went and took the whole valley, and I didn't take no due for raising all his sheep for him. Oh Allah, if I did that for your sake and your sake only, then open a little bit for the sheep. And the third one, and the point of the story is the third one. The third one said, oh Allah, I had a beautiful cousin. I always desired sexually. And I asked her to commit adultery or fornication with her, and she refused. The days went on when she needed to borrow money. She had a hardship and she needed to borrow money. She came to me and she said, cousin, I need to borrow some of your wealth. I said, I will, but that which I asked you for a long time ago, I want it. Meaning, I want to have sex with you. And she has no way out of it. She's desperate for the wealth. So as soon as he gets on top of her, the hadith says, on top of her, she tells him, fear Allah and don't break this virginity without its right. Look at that. You tell someone in that position, fear Allah, it's only one who fears Allah that's going to really listen to you. So he jumps up away from her and leaves her be. He gives her the wealth and she goes on her own. He says, oh Allah, I did that for your sake and your sake only. Then break and open it, and they left out of the cave. Look at that. Fear Allah. If you told that to someone other than that person, would he really listen to you? Would he really get off? He said, after this, I'll fear Allah. No, but this was a person who feared Allah. Other people who don't fear Allah, doesn't work with them. So she says to him, if you fear Allah, if you're a taqi, then leave me alone. She knew from his facial expressions that this was a fearful person who fears Allah.
قال إنما أنا رسول ربك لأهب لك غلاما زكيا.
Jibreel tells her, trying to comfort her and calm her down, don't be afraid. I'm a messenger of Allah to you. Now, does she take that for face value, or does she investigate? You know, some guy comes to a woman today and tells her, Wallah, I'm a messenger for Allah to you. I'm a messenger of Allah to you, and I have to do a few things. And he takes advantage of her. Does she believe him? The explanation to that is that she's seen in him miracles that made her believe him. Also, Allah instilled in her that he's not lying. This is not a person who's lying. Add to that the fact that there was revelation back then. Zakaria was there. He approved it. He didn't disapprove it. And they knew it was something from Allah. So now if a guy comes to a girl, tell him, get out of here, you're a liar. You can't have that again happen again, because that's something that will not happen with revelation next to it to support it. لِأَحَبَ لَكِ I am a messenger of Allah to grant you. Who's the one who's granting? Of course it's Allah. However, when Jibreel is going through the direct means, he's the one coming down with the means, then he could attribute it to himself. لِأَحَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا زَكِيًّا means لِأَحَبَ لَكِ غُلَامًا زَكِيًّا زَكِيًّا means a son, a purified son, who is not, as they claim, a bastard. قَالَتْ أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامًا She said, how can I have a son? وَلَمْ يَمْسَسْنِي بَشَرْ وَلَمْ أَكُ بَغِيًّا She gives two reasons. How can I have a son when I'm not, literally the verse means, when I haven't been touched by a male? But touched in this verse means sexual relationship. When I have never had a sexual relationship with a male, and number two, I'm not a prostitute. بَغِيَّة بَغِيَّة is from the Arabic word يَبْغِي means wanting, because a prostitute wants male. It's called بَغِيَّة. She's a prostitute. That's the meaning of a prostitute. She, Maryam, is saying, I'm not someone who was ever touched by a male, And I'm not a prostitute. These are the only two ways she knows that someone can conceive a kid. She's neither of the two. قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي حين. In that setting that you're in, she wanted to know how. She knew it was a messenger from Allah. How's it going to happen? He said, كذلك. Just remain as you are. Meaning she's asking. She's not disapproving of Allah's will. She's asking, how's that going to happen? I haven't been married. I'm not a prostitute. I haven't had sex with anyone. No male ever. In the setting you're in, Maryam. Meaning, it's not going to drop down from the sky. It's not going to come by someone passing by and telling you, here's the kid. It's going to be that you get pregnant in the setting you're in. That's it. The way someone can bear a child is one of four ways. Number one, without a father. Or a mother. Like Adam, like Isa over here. Adam had no father, no mother. Isa had no father. By both parents. A father and a mother. Then you have a baby. And the next one is by a man alone. And that's like Adam and Hawa. So there are four ways. The first one is the A and B category. Without a father, without a father and a mother. Without a father, like Isa. Without a father and mother, like Adam. A and B. The next one is by a parent, father and mother. They conceive a baby. The next one is by a man alone, and that's like Adam when Hawa came out of his rib. وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً. Then Allah says, we're going to make this, tells Jibreel to tell her, we're going to make him a miracle. وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً لِلنَّاسِ. For the universe, for the people. وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا. وَلِنَجْعَلَهُ آيَةً. He is a miracle in the way he's going to be born without a father, and he's going to come with miracles for the people. As we're going to see the types of miracles that Allah granted to Zakariya. وَرَحْمَةً مِنَّا. And a mercy from us, because he is a life to the soul. You know, messengers and teachers and knowledgeable people and scholars are a life to the soul and a mercy to the soul. They're the ones who save the universe from disaster, because without them, people be led astray. So he's a mercy of Allah to this universe. وَكَانَ أَمْرًا مَقْضِيًّا. Final decision made by Allah. Meaning Maryam, Jibreel said, Maryam, it's a decision made by Allah. Don't argue with me. Give it up. Allah made that decision. There's no way in going back on it. In an important lesson from this question and answer by Jibreel and by Maryam is that you have one question that could be replied to by many different ways. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was sitting with a companion. A man came to him and said, Ibn Abbas, if someone kills, can he repent? Ibn Abbas said, no. In the same setting, another man came and said, Ibn Abbas, if someone kills, can he repent? Ibn Abbas said, yes. Ibn Abbas, a student, said, what's wrong with you, Ibn Abbas? One guy tell him no, one guy tell him yes to the same question. He said, yes, because it's a different situation. The first one had him killed, and if I tell him, yes, you can repent, he most likely is going to go and kill and repent after that. So I told him no, so he won't go and kill. The next one is a guy who killed and came to ask me if he can repent, and I told him yes, because he wanted to repent, and if I say no, I would be closing the gates of repentance and causing more evil than good in doing that. So the same question could be answered many times. This question about Maryam having a baby without having a husband is one question answered in three different ways in this story. The first one is Maryam herself. She asked Jibreel, how can I have a kid? In the categories of one who you answer to is, number one, people who is iman is at the peak. Their iman is at the peak, you answer the iman in them. Number two is people whose minds have more priority than their iman. The iman and their mind, their mental rationale and thinking are at a level where the mind is just a little bit above their iman. Their mental rationalization is above. These are also people you can usually convince. The third people, they have no iman and they have no mind to think with. They're arrogant and stubborn people, and there's a way to respond to them. Among them is people like the Mu'tazila, everything in the Quran and the Sunnah, first of all, they take it to see, does it enter our mind or no? If it doesn't enter their mind, they reject it. And in Islam, that's wrong. You know, because not all minds are think alike. So whatever in the Quran and the Sunnah, you take it, whether your mind accepts it or not. We don't care what your mind thinks, because your mind doesn't think like his. He doesn't think like his. So we take what's in the Quran and the Sunnah, and we accept it as it is. Now let's go back to apply these three different ways to the question given to Maryam, about Maryam. The question is, how could Maryam bear a child without a husband? She asked that question.
قالت أنى يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أك بغيا قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين.
She told Jibreel, how can I have a child? I haven't been touched by a man. Jibreel says, كذلك.
قال كذلك.
Allah said it. She accepted. That's all you had to say. Allah made that decision, that's it. You know, that's just like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. When they thought Abu Bakr was too strong of a believer, that one time Allah escalated the Prophet ﷺ from Mecca to Jerusalem to top of seven skies, and back before his bed was any less warm than he left it. Same temperature. So Abu Bakr was in the outskirts of Mecca and he didn't know what's going on, so they ran to Abu Bakr. He said, Abu Bakr, you know what your friend is doing now? He said, what? He said, he claims he left from Mecca to Jerusalem, which back then was a month's worth of journey, to the top of seven skies and met Allah and messengers and came back and his bed is as warm as he left it. Abu Bakr looks at him, says, if he said that, then that's true.
This has been a production from Maktaba Sound Studio. You may wish to visit our bookshop at Maktaba Booksellers and Publishers, 384 Stratford Road, Spark Hill, Birmingham, B114AB, or phone us on 0121-773-1661. Alternatively, visit our website, maktaba.net. That's www.maktabah.net, where you will find the very best of Islamic literature and nasheeds. All rights reserved for this publication. Please adhere to this, as all unlawful reproductions may harm us from further producing quality Islamic media. Jazakallah khair. Maktaba, your online Islamic bookstore.